Welcome again, everyone. Yesterday, Jan Booz was sharing on the power of speaking God's word. Really, really blessed me because tonight's sharing will tie into that one, I think, perfectly. And just so that you know, tonight's title is simply called Seize the Moment. Seize the Moment. But before I get into the sharing, I'd like to read you a personal preface that I put together in lieu of this. So, in light of seizing the moment, I've seen many people around that seem to be lacking true peace or have nothing to hold on to. So you can see that seizing the moment would be a dramatic improvement. Man without a godly spiritual lifestyle is so susceptible to being tossed to and fro. One of the ways we can seize the moment with people is to pray for them or with them. Whether we know them or not, let's give it a try. Seizing the moment with the power of God and His love is offering a life whose length is eternal and the oasis of peace man cannot give. Praise be to God for His goodness and His help. So, seize the moment. I'm so excited about that, and we all should be, because what else is there to do but to hold forth God's word and help those around us? Like Jan shared the other day, go fish, another way of saying seize the moment. So tonight, if I sound like a coach, it's because I'm exhorting us like a coach once exhorted me. And the story goes like this. I've always been, in my former years, an avid runner of long distance. I've always loved to run long distance. So in high school, I immediately signed up for the cross-country team. Now, we had three teams. You had the 10th grade team, the junior varsity, and the varsity. And I can remember our first race. The coach would wait at the finish line. It was over 2 miles to run. And after we finished the race, all three of the divisions, he called us to the side and he says, "What is wrong with you guys?" He goes, "I've seen you the last 200 or 300 yards come sprinting to the finish. Why did you not seize the moment during the race with all that energy? It's too late at the end." He says, "During the race, you look at the competitor in front of you and you pick them up one by one. You exert your energy and seize the moment then." Well, we took his advice. And that season, from then out, we did something that was very rare, which they called a Grand Slam season. And that simply means the 10th grade team, the junior varsity, and the varsity win all their races. So we seized the moment, and the coach was exactly right. You see, there are always seize the moment opportunities for one thing or another, whether it's in sports, a sale somewhere, or other worldly opportunities. But if we're going to be seeking God first, doesn't it seem logical that this would include doing His will? This is why we need to be doers of seizing the moments, plural. We're going to see in God's treasureful word some people that were seizing the moment. And to get started, I want everyone, if you have a Bible, I'll give you time, to go to the book of Luke, chapter 10, and we'll pick this up in verse 30. Remember, we want to seize the moment. In verse 30, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Didn't even ask, "Are you okay?" Verse 32, "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by again on the other side." And here's that pivotal word, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil, wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Notice the Good Samaritan did not wait for this injured man to shout out help or ask for help. We cannot stay focused on our lives only, but to look out on our neighbors. Remember, we can ask ourselves, what would we want someone to do in time of need? Now the next seize the moment. We know the story, but let's look at it in lieu of seizing the moment. And for this, I ask you please to go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to skip around in this chapter. 1 Samuel 17, let's look and start in verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Go down to verse 4. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Verse 6. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one also bearing a shield went before him. The tail of the tape here, to put things in perspective, is that Goliath was anywhere from 9.5 to 10 feet tall. Can you imagine him in the NBA? He'd probably pick up MVP every year. The weight of all the armor that he put on was more than 126 pounds. The spearhead that it mentioned alone was 15 pounds. So let's read on. In 1 Samuel, go to verse 10. In 1 Samuel 17:10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were terrified. Okay, David, it's coming to a climax. Now, you can still bail out, but is that what happened? Well, let's go on to verse 28, please. And in verse 28 it says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. This is what we would call today rubberneckers, but that's not what he was doing. That's not what he was doing. Go to verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him or with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Put me in. Saul is right, though. David can't fight the Philistine or Goliath alone, but who is with him? Almighty God. And David had that in his heart. David and God had quite a resume. This wasn't David or God's first rodeo. Now, let's go down to verse 38, please. And these couple of verses, I'm going to read them out of the New Living Translation. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. And what did he say? "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. Verse 40. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into the shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight Goliath, the Philistine. In verse 45, please. David replied to the Philistine, Goliath, "You come to me with a sword, spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, heaven of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." You see, if we go down and see exactly what was going on with this, we will see that in verse 49, the conclusion. Reaching into the shepherd's bag and taking out the stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit Goliath in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. You see, David seized the moment. He wasn't afraid, even though he was much smaller and didn't seem like it would be any good match. He seized the moment. And this is something much greater than some of the moments that we can seize. Now, someone who was good at seizing the moment, plural, and that was Jesus Christ. And to see this, I would ask that you all go to the Gospel of John. And when you get there, go to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, drop down to verse 5. "Then cometh he," Jesus, "to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weathered and wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. He was tired. Him and his disciples had been journeying. And it was about the 6th hour, noontime. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." Here comes seizing the moment, my brothers and sisters. "Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." They went to go get food and supplies. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Judean, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Judeans have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was presenting and offering the woman. So the conclusion of this, we'll have to go down to verse 13, please. "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." You see, people need to hear the truth to get away from the stuff the world tries to offer or propound on them. And these 3 records of seizing the moment is another way I want you to look at them, because that's the exhortation to us. I get phone calls and make phone calls every day. And most of them, if not all of them, have nothing to do with stuff from the Bible or God. But at the end of every phone call, I've made it a point to ask the individual when they say, is there anything I can help you with? I'll say no, but there's something that I would like to help you with. And there's a pause, and they're wondering, what's going on? He called me for help, and now he's asking to help me. I asked them, is there anything that I can pray for you? And they'll say, every one of them, yes, there is. Whatever the case may be, we take a moment to pray. And you can hear the jubilation in their voice when they say, thank you so much for that. Of course. So, unbeknownst to them, I'm seizing the moment with their lives, with God's love. So I trust that these stories will give us more motivation to seize the moments. So my question to all of us is, will you seize the moment? Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us the things to seize the moment with, Father. Wherever we're at, we don't have to have eloquence of speech, just a big heart that you filled with your love to help those around us, friends and strangers alike. Help us to seize the moment. After all, what else do we do with learning your word, going to your word, hearing sharings on one thing or another? It's to build us up with that good news to share with others and seize that moment. So, Father, I thank you for your great help in giving us words to speak in season or out as we seize the moment for you, Almighty God.